Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sermon title for this morning is upon the screen. Would you read it with me, please, this morning? It Only Takes One. Permit me to read now just a small portion of today's Old Testament reading, this very curious passage from Genesis chapter 18. And Abraham said, Lord God, suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Suppose there were 40 found there, 30 found there, 20 found there. I will speak but once more, O Lord. Suppose there should just be 10 righteous found there. And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for the sake of the 10. I encourage you to find your worship folder, turn to the back of it, and on that find the sermon outline. Follow that sermon outline as we consider the theme, It Only Takes One. Well, in 1969, how many of you remember 1969? Ha ha! Well, in 1969, the music group Three Dog Night, we were talking about dog days of summer in the introduction to our service. The music group Three Dog Night had a number one song in the rock music charts. It's a song that has stood the test of time. The song's title was, One is the Loneliest Number. It has a catchy tune, it has easy to remember lyrics, it has a clear message about being alone, being lonely, standing up for something all by yourself. And here's just a portion of this song. I'll try to sing a bit of it. Please be gracious with my attempt. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one. One is the loneliest number, one is the loneliest number, one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One. Today, we're going to talk about numbers. We'll start with the number 50, and by the end of the sermon, we'll work our way down to number one. And you should know ahead of time that the number one we'll be talking about is our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're doing this because in today's Old Testament reading from Genesis 18, God and Abraham are talking numbers. They begin at 50, they work down to 10. In this intriguing and unique, most unique passage in the Old Testament, we hear Abraham bargaining or negotiating or dickering with God, and their dickering almost sounds like an auction in reverse. Instead of the bid or the number going higher and higher and higher, it gets lower and lower and lower. The number goes from 50 to 45 to 40 to 30 to 20 to 10. Now, what's going on? Abraham is pleading with Almighty God. He's pleading for the wicked city of Sodom. There was wicked, and then there was Sodom wicked. The horrible and degrading things that were going on in that city are too disturbing even to be mentioned from this pulpit today. But its wickedness was infamous, known by people all over. In Genesis 13, we read this. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked, and they were sinful against the Lord. In Ezekiel 16, we read these words, As I live, says the Lord God, the people of Sodom were haughty and committed abomination against me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. God had had enough. He warned Abraham that destruction was coming. It was literal fire and brimstone from heaven. But Abraham pleads with God for mercy. He has some family in this city. Could they please be spared? Then begins the negotiating, the bargaining, and the dickering. God, will you relent from your holy anger if just 50 or 45 or 40 or 30 or 20 or even 10 people are found in that city that are righteous because of their faith and trust in you? Finally, we learn that a small number of people are spared as they're led out of Sodom, just as God's holy destruction comes. What can such a unique account from the Old Testament, written so very long ago, have to say to us today when we look at the Scriptures, the entire Scriptures, through the lens of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, although this account of Abraham's bargaining with God contains no specific reference at all to the saving work of Jesus, there is still plenty of gospel in it. This account stresses for us the disposition of God to save, His desire to have mercy on sinners, God's incapacity, as says Ezekiel 13, and I quote, His incapacity to find pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now we see more good news or gospel in this account that emerges between the relationship of Abraham and God. We see here that a man, a creature, a sinful creature, can negotiate with the Almighty Creator. A sinful man can actually badger God, nag Him, politely, yet intensely, respectfully, but so stubbornly. Why, this tells us something about the very nature of God, that He would allow such intimacy and boldness between Him and a human being. This reminds us, my friends, that we can do the same thing in our prayers. As Jesus taught us in Luke 11, and I quote, to approach God as dear children approach their own dear father. But there's even a more clear gospel account in this Genesis 18 text. And here's where we get to today's sermon title, It Only Takes One. Listen to St. Paul's words in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came to all unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many will be made righteous. What's Paul talking about? Paul is talking about how the original sin of one man, Adam, affects and infects the entire human race. And one result is now that we are all sinners and deserve God's judgment. But he also declares that because of the righteous obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, and his cross and his empty tomb, we sinners are made righteous in him. You see, it only takes one. Now, Abraham bargained with God to spare the city of Sodom if just 50 righteous people could be found there. And he pushed God to say, how about if we can just find 10 people who are righteous because of their faith in you? But it didn't work. Not even that small number could be found. Not even 10. Not even one. The city was destroyed. Now, can anyone say today that our world and the world in which we live right now is any better than the ancient city of Sodom? Just take a quick glance at your evening newspaper. Turn on the evening news. Turn on your internet. This all tells us that we live in a sinful, rebellious time. But having said that, don't waste your time pointing your finger at people around. Remember, one finger pointed out makes three come back. We need look no farther than our own lives, for the lives of our families to see the effects of sin and rebellion against God today. You see, all of our heartaches, all of our brokenness, all of our pain and sorrow finally are a result of our sin and rebellion against God. And what are the chances of finding 50, 40, 30, 20, or 10, even one righteous person today? Not good. In fact, the Bible says impossible. Holy Scripture is very realistic when it says in Romans 3, verse 10, these words, "There is none righteous, not even one." And if that isn't clear enough, Romans 3:23 declares, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But now comes the good news. Almighty God found one exception to this rule. And remember, will you say it with me? It only takes one. God found one exception to this rule. And because of that one, Almighty God proved willing to save our world from destruction. Almighty God proved willing to save you and me from the judgment and destruction we deserve. Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, lived a perfect life and kept God's law without sinning. He did what he promised he would do at his baptism when he said, "I have come to fulfill all righteousness." At his baptism, Jesus began the work that he finished at the cross, bearing the sins of the world. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, took all of the sins of the world upon himself. I'm talking about you. He took all of your sins upon himself. I'm talking about me. He took all of my sins upon himself, and he bore them as he was nailed to that holy tree. But not only did he bear our sins, Holy Scripture says he became our sin. 2 Corinthians 5 puts it this way: "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Wow. This is what is called the great exchange. Jesus exchanged his righteousness for our sin. We got his righteousness. He got our sin. What an exchange. And let me ask you, who got the best part of that deal? We did. And hundreds of years before his birth, hundreds of years before Christmas Day, hundreds of years before the words of John 3:16 became true, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, hundreds of years before, an Old Testament prophet named Isaiah, in his 53rd chapter, said much the same thing about that one who would come to exchange his righteousness for our sin. This is what the prophet wrote: "Surely our griefs he bore, our sorrows he carried. He was pierced for our transgressions. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He will justify the many, as he alone will bear their iniquities." It only took one. Only one could do it. And Jesus was that one. In Jesus' life and death and resurrection, Almighty God demonstrated the truth of 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, which reads, "God desires all people to be saved." In Jesus' life and death and resurrection, Almighty God demonstrated the truth of 2 Peter 3, verse 9, which says, "He is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance and be saved. The one did it for all. The one did it for you. As the 1969 song put it, and I won't sing it again, do I hear an amen? As the 1969 song put it, one is the loneliest number. Jesus was that one, lonely, forsaken, filthy for our sin, crucified for our sin, died and was buried. This one did that for all people. And never forget, this one did that for you. But the grave could not hold him. He rose in glorious victory over sin and death, thumbing his nose at the devil. The one who did that did it for all people. But don't forget, he did it for you. It only took one. Only one could do it. Jesus is that one. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen.